Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Monday to you. By the way, tomorrow's Super Tuesday. And, you know, this weekend, too, just a friendly reminder, go buy some batteries today for your smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors because it's going to be spring forward. Otherwise, Sunday, you're going to be late for church and, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is it spring forward already? My God.
Yeah, spring is here.
Spring is sprung. The grass is riz. I wonder where the flowers is.
Well, ain't no daisies here, I can tell you that. We're just sitting here lamenting and contemplating life.
I'm sure you are.
In the Biden world, you know? It's not fun under the Biden mushroom.
Hey, Nikki Haley had a victory. Can you believe that?
Yeah, boy, she had cake and a firecracker and everything to celebrate.
A firecracker. Yeah, if you haven't heard, Nikki Haley has clinched her first win in the GOP presidential nominating contest. That was on Sunday. She won in D.C. She didn't really win a state. She won the District of Columbia, which is incredibly rhino. It is otherwise known to people in the know as the swamp. It is where the creatures of the dark lagoon reside. You see.
You know, you see old candidates getting votes, too, like Chris Christie. Oh, he didn't get any. And then,
but he did get donuts. Yes.
Well, yeah, he did get donuts. But Nikki Haley proved once again that a dud can even go bang once in a while. So, I mean, her firecracker was lit. She popped in. That's the extent of the campaign, unless Illinois takes Trump off the ballot because Chicago didn't that person from there say, yeah, I don't want Trump. And
yeah,
she was a traffic.
Did you hear, that's coming down this morning. You know that rule, that decision. I forgot to mention this to you. Supposedly, they have sent a notification out that there will be a ruling. A decision will be made on Monday morning, and everybody is assuming that it's the decision on whether Trump can be on the ballot.
Now, who's doing the ruling? Let's clarify
this. The U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they were saying it would be within weeks, but I figured over the weekend that Illinois thing, because somebody could sit there and go, there's Super Tuesday and Super Tuesday, they could sit there and go, well, we'll take
off
the ballot.
You know, it's funny, I mentioned Illinois and Tuesday, but I looked at the list of states. I think
it's next week.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the Super Tuesday, but Bill, they still would need some time to make sure the ballots are printed properly and stuff like that, you know, or in the system. So,
well, no. Talk about an upset there, because if they go, oh, the ballots are out, and people that voted for Trump, their votes just don't count for anything.
Well,
and see, and see, Nikki, I think Nikki knew this all along. I think she thought,
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
If the decision comes down that Trump cannot be on the ballots in Colorado, Illinois, and those states, if they do exactly what they legally shouldn't do, and I'm not a lawyer, but I played one on TV, and I can tell you, seriously, that the logical, common sense decision would be that he's on the ballot. There's no, because there are charges that he committed insurrection on January 6, 2021, and he's never been charged for that.
Okay, but what are the three states that said, you know, unless they've already been done and counted, any state coming up that's a blue state or a rhino state, but I'd say it's blue states, they could just go arbitrarily say, well, he's not on our ballot. Yeah, he's printed. If you vote for him, your vote doesn't count for anything. So think wisely before you vote. They would go to town, and if they made that ruling, there are liberal judges salivating right now.
Oh, they'd be like dominoes, Bill. You'd see other states start to do the same thing.
And Trump will be done. So it's either all going to really kick into high gear in the next 2 weeks, or actually after today, or it's going to fall flat on its face, and we're going to have to talk about something else because...
Well, wait a second. I got a question for you. If they do something as illegal as that appears to be, what does that do to our country?
Do you think
that Trump supporters are just going to go over to Nikki Haley? I don't think so. I don't think she has a snowball's chance.
They don't have to, because all they got to do is just sit there and say the Trump vote doesn't count. So Nikki Haley doesn't have to win the presidential election. All she has to do is say she was the winner of the party, and that carves out her career.
Yeah, but see, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. I think what will happen is that if they take Trump off the ballot, first of all, I think that there will be, I think there will be demonstrations around the country like we haven't seen
before.
Maybe
a civil war.
Bill, I hesitated to even say that, but that's a possibility.
Okay, let's look to the great RuPaul.
The great RuPaul? Yes.
Now that's an interesting character.
RuPaul.
Yeah, because there's guys, there's gals, and there's RuPaul.
Wait, hold it for a second. I'm writing something down. This is a first. Bill has said RuPaul is great.
Well, RuPaul is doing something
okay.
that you would make you go, what? Has property
yeah.
in Wyoming and building a very secure compound for the civil war that's about to happen.
Oh, my gosh. RuPaul has a compound that he's building in Wyoming?
Well, you can't miss it because it's got daisies and flowers and chartreuse on the outside.
I'm sure.
But it's fortified.
He has a whole wardrobe closet for his dresses, yes.
Well, those are under guard.
Well, hey, listen, he's not. Why do you think, what's his name, Facebook, Zuckerberg, he's building that massive complex underground in Hawaii? $250 million underground complex? He's not doing it because he likes the view. It's underground.
When you see him with flowers in his hair, alay, and he's going aloha, duck and cover because incoming, it's about to happen.
That's right. You know? If you see him walking the streets of Hawaii, I'd get nervous.
Yeah, put on your flak jacket and get a helmet.
Getting back to the decision coming up today, this morning, do you think it's going to be a positive decision for Trump? I mean, it should be, but I mean, are they so corrupt? Is the judicial system so corrupt that it goes right to the very head of the snake?
Well, it could. Now, let me ask you this. The Democrats, all right, how many are there?
Well, I mean, there's Sotomayor, there's Kagan, there's... there's about four.
Okay. So they're going to vote that he is, he's guilty, right?
Right.
So all they need to do is
get Roberts or somebody else to sweep, and he's done it in the past.
Yep. And then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump is one vote shy of, going forward or ending. And if it's a one-vote lead that they have, it's over. See, now
how do you think the Republican Party will square it if they have this decision come down and Trump is all of a sudden removed?
Well, Nikki will try to step up to the plate. I'll just say it right now. Now, I don't go with everything he's got, but if Nikki comes forward... and at this late game, I don't know if you can get a DeSantis or Vivek in there to get the delegates and the whole nine yards.
Well, those delegates that Trump has, by the way, they won't go automatically to Nikki. They will go up for grabs in the convention. So if somebody comes along like Vivek or DeSantis, they would have a better shot, I think, at those delegates than Nikki Haley.
Well, let's say that we don't get a good candidate in there. Then I would have to look at Kennedy.
Well, I think there's a lot of social things I don't like about Kennedy.
Yeah.
But
I'm the same. But yeah. I don't think he's going to sit there. I don't think he's going to have the border thing. There's a lot of things that we're doing that he wouldn't do.
Before the D.C. victory, I hesitate even to say that. But, it's so ridiculous. It's a pimple on the derriere of the election season. But she was being interviewed, and she was asked about whether Trump will follow the Constitution. Nikki Haley had this for an answer.
Do you think Donald Trump would follow the Constitution if he were elected to a second term? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you always want to think someone will, But I don't know. You know, when you go in and you talk about revenge, when you go and you talk about, you know, vindication, when you go and you talk about what does that mean? Like, I don't know what that means. And only he can answer for that. What I can answer for is I don't think there should ever be a president that's above the law. I don't think that there should ever be a president that has total immunity to do whatever they want to do. I think that we need to have someone that our kids can look up to, that they can be proud of. And I think we need to have a country of law and order, a country of freedom, and a country that goes back to respecting the value of a taxpayer dollar. And we don't have any of that right now.
No, she's amazing. Okay, she talks about vindication and revenge.
You know, she's a liar.
But here's the thing, Bill. Trump is not going to go back, go and look for vindication or revenge, but he may look for, and this will be misinterpreted by the left, he may look for justice. You see, he's had a lot of things, a lot of wrongdoings done to him. And for him to get into a position to rectify the situation, he would be stupid not to go after the bad guys. But the left is going to make it look like he's doing something that's, you know, out of bounds, so to speak. Do you know? They're going to make it look like, he's picking on his... the poor innocent, you know, people out here who were against him. No.
Oh, by the way, the No Labels Party. Apparently, they have a little help from a couple of labels like Bill Clinton and Obama. And by the way, the Clintons are back and Obama's back. They're doing fundraisers and they're meeting. And what this all shows me. Now, today is going to be the anomaly of the day that could really sway things, Democrat or Republican. But
it's
the war room of the left is gathering up, the march is on in March. And they are going to throw everything at him. The Democrats claim they are now going to go after Trump and throw him in prison. Now, today could be, you know...
It could be the beginning of the end as far as they're concerned. But see, they have misjudged him historically since he got into politics. They have made one mistake after the other. They've had constant misjudgments made on their part. They've always said, Hillary's going to win in 2016. Heck, like we've said before, Bill, they were saying the night of the election up until 9 o'clock that it was a shoo-in for Hillary. They had fireworks on a barge in the Hudson, and they were ready to have them go off. And all of a sudden, the barge went dark, and the fireworks came into dock. You know, I mean.
Well, yeah, they parked those barges, and they still got the fireworks. They're ready.
They should have sold them to Trump for a pennies on the dollar. You know who's in the news, Bill? Mayorkas. Who? Mayorkas was interviewed over the weekend. I got a couple of cuts.
He's got the power. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to listen. To this. They asked Mayorkas. Before I forget, that last comment from Nikki Haley, I thought the question was obscene. Do you think that Trump will follow the Constitution?
That was a setup question.
We have a crook. We have a crook in the office right now, and they don't ask anything near that kind of a question.
It's not about Biden because he's a Democrat, so it's all about Trump, and it's not even really about Trump. It's about the shadow that they want to cast upon him because they want to sit there and maintain and take power. And I guarantee this may very well be the last election that we have.
God, Bill, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. You can't. Who do you appeal to if the Supreme Court fails you? If the Supreme Court is corrupt and they fail us, and they have done this in the past, when Obama was in office, the Supreme Court was supposed to make a key decision on, I forgot exactly what it was, but they came out and made the wrong decision, and they didn't care.
Well, you know, I have family, and I have people I know inside the Beltway, and not family, but it was somebody that I know inside the Beltway that made the comment, God, it was a year and a half ago or 2 years to me ago, sat there and said, you know, don't worry, in the next election, the Democrats are going to take it, and we are going to hold and maintain the power. We're going to take the power, and control things for at least the next 30 years, you know, your lifetime and my lifetime.
And well, you know,
that was an arrogant statement. Now I'm starting to see the fruits of what he was talking about.
Mayorkas was impeached about a week and a half ago. He's still going on talk shows on, like, Meet the Press and things like it, Face the Nation. Listen to what he said about Lakin Riley. That's the poor nursing student who was out for a jog and was killed by an illegal who shouldn't have been there in the first place.
A 22-year-old nursing student, I know you've been following this, Lakin Riley in the state of Georgia was murdered allegedly by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. The suspect had been detained by Border Patrol upon crossing, released with temporary permission to stay in the country. He then went on allegedly to commit crimes twice, once in New York for driving a scooter without a license and once in connection with a shoplifting case in Georgia. Did those states and their law enforcement communicate to the federal government that this had happened? Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family, number one. Number two, and importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, one individual is responsible for the murder, and that is the murderer. And we work very closely with state and local law enforcement to ensure that individuals who pose a threat to public safety are indeed our highest priority for detention and removal.
But are you saying there that the federal government had been informed about this individual and the alleged crimes he had committed in those states, because he could have been deported if that was the case? Was there a breakdown in the system?
So, Margaret, there are a number of cities around the country that have varying degrees of cooperation with the immigration authorities. We firmly believe that we firmly believe that if a city is aware of an individual who poses a threat to public safety, then we would request that they provide us with that information so that we can ensure that that individual is detained if the facts so warrant.
The key word that struck us both was the way she used the term allegedly a couple of times at least. Margaret Brennan, she allegedly is a reporter. I find it amazing that they will do everything they can to throw shade on the left, you know? And their questioning may seem to be, you know, like it's going in the right direction, but there are follow-ups that even a non-reporter like myself would have asked, you know? And she just sat there and let this guy lie.
Dance.
Yeah,
dance.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
I think of an old disco song, dance, dance, dance. But either way, that's all he was doing. He was doing the tap dance so he could shuffle off to D.C., and that's all they ever do. They never answer a question.
You know, he said more. He said more, B.C. He has so much to tell us. You have something you want to add? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, and our prayers go to the families.
Oh, my God.
Okay, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Whoa, back this bus up. Everybody you hear on the left, they are attacking the Constitution. They're attacking the Bible. They're attacking Christianity.
Hey.
They don't believe in God, so how the hell do you pray? You don't. You're just a lying sack of crap.
And listen to this. The storyline down at the University of Georgia right now isn't the tragic death of Lakin Riley, the poor lady who, poor young woman, the poor young girl. I mean, she was hardly out of high school. She was out for a morning jog. She was a class A nursing student. They said she was one of the best in her class. She was just doing all the things that she should have been doing as a student, okay? The story down at the University of Georgia right now from the media is the tragic and toxic environment the non-white students are going through right now because of the attack on Lakin Riley. They're saying that if you're Hispanic and if you're going to school at the University of Georgia, then you're having tough times right now because everybody's picking on you. Never mind the fact that this poor young lady was attacked by an illegal who shouldn't have been there in the first place, you know, that he should have been deported long ago. It was a failure, a huge failure. And these people are saying that it's the Hispanic community that's suffering right now at the University of Georgia because the environment is so hateful. Oh, my God. And that's true, folks. I read that story just before I got on the air this morning, and I had to include it. Mayorkas also was talking about illegals and can we stop the problem at the border? You got to hear what he says here.
Let me just ask you, though, big picture. You have now been in your position for 3 years, and let's talk about what's happened during those 3 years. More migrants have crossed the border illegally last year than ever before. The asylum cases backlog has more than tripled since 2019. You yourself have said that more than 85% of migrants caught crossing the border illegally are being released into the U.S. as they await their court dates. Let's just put impeachment aside for a minute. Why do you deserve to keep your job, Mr. Secretary?
Kristen, the data that you cite is a powerful example of why we need legislation to fix what everyone agrees is a broken immigration system. And you take a snapshot of the data over the past 3 years. Let's take a look before the last 3 years. That case backlog, which is about 3 million cases, has been growing year over year over year. The time between when we encounter an individual at the border and the time of final adjudication of an asylum case has been years, 5 to 7 years, 4 years and years. I remember when I entered the Department of Homeland Security in 2009, we were wrestling with these very same issues. The system has not been fixed for 30 years. A bipartisan group of senators have now presented us with the tools and resources we need, bipartisan group, and yet Congress killed it before even reading it.
No doubt there is gridlock on Congress, but do you bear responsibility for what is happening at the border, what the president himself has called a crisis?
It certainly is a crisis, and we don't bear responsibility for a broken system, and we're doing a tremendous amount within that broken system. But fundamentally, Congress is the only one who can fix it.
First of all, understand this. He said it himself. He entered into the Department of Homeland Security in 2009. Exactly. And who was the president of the United States in 2009? Barack Hussein Obama. Okay, so he's one of Obama's
plants. It's a Democrat problem that has been brought on.
And the other thing about this guy is that he says he doesn't take any blame for the problem at the border. It's Congress.
To.
But, you know, Bill, this is the same guy that said this.
Is our border secure?
Our border is secure. Border is secure because we are maximizing our resources to deliver the most effective results to our border with the most extraordinary workforce in the world. The border is not open. It has not been open, and it will not be open subsequent to May 11th.
Guy is amazing. The guy is amazing that he can lie so easily. You know, this guy was on, you notice he was on with Kristen Welker on NBC and with Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation. He made the rounds this weekend. This guy was on television more than most people this weekend.
Well, Kamala was on a lot, too. She did the thing in Selma, Alabama, the Bloody Sunday speech, and then they did an interview that was so pro-Kamala. They're trying to build her up. They're doing everybody. The White House is sending out letters to get the news media, Fox and everyone, to retract the FBI, claims that are out there about going after, the informant that leaked out information on them that was damning information. There is a big wheel that's spinning here, and it's their propaganda machine that's mm-hmm. going on right now. That's it's kind of scary just to sit back and watch it, and then you got Bernie in the background sitting there going, he wants to take executive action on the border and blame the invasion on climate change. So he's getting
unbelievable.
His 2 cents in.
Trump had this to say when he was at Eagle Pass about the border.
This is a Joe Biden invasion. This is a Biden invasion over the past 3 years. It's allowing thousands and thousands of people to come in from China, Iran, Yemen, the Congo, Syria, and a lot of other nations. Many nations are not very friendly to us. He's transported the entire columns of fighting-aged men, and they're all at a certain age and you look at them and say, they look like warriors to me. Something's going on. It's bad.
So the rounded down number, though, of people crossing the border, and this is on the news if you want to look it up, is, the and it's a rounded down number, not rounded up, but either way it would be bad, but it's 7,000 people a day.
Wow.
That's 2,555,000 illegal immigrants coming in a year by
wow.
that number, that daily number. But we know at times it's been higher. So, and again, numbers are always rounded up or down to suit somebody's narrative. But that is a scary number. And you multiply it by the Biden regime.
And Bill, they're coming in. There's a lot of them who are coming in and they're arrogant. They're flipping us the bird as they come in now. Like, hey, mm-hmm. you can't do anything about it. I'm here. I know my rights. They have no rights. They're not citizens of this country. But Biden has given them rights. You know, this administration has bestowed upon these people rights. They're making more money than most of us.
And that's a big divide in a lot of areas. I mean, these people are getting housing allowances. Up to $10,000 on a credit card, not just a month. I mean, sometimes it's several thousand dollars for a given day. And now Hochul in New York is saying, you know, these illegal immigrants, they should have the right to run for political office.
They should have the right to work in state government.
Yes. So, you know, in other words, they're illegal. But let's let them make decisions for you and I who are born and raised here,
right?
You know, and are real citizens and had to learn the Constitution.
You know, we don't even know whether some of these people have a high school education.
Doesn't matter. They're illegal. So they are the current day anointed one. You know, and they could be any race or color. It really doesn't matter because they can sit there and flip you off, and it's a protected right. It's a protected form of speech. But if you go back and flip them back, not only will they probably shoot you with their gun, they're protected by the Biden administration.
You know, there was I wish I had the video. I don't right now, but I'll have it this week. I'll play it. There was a video of this illegal, and he's holding up his baby, and he's saying, I'm illegal, but I get paid more money than you do because of her. And he's holding the baby like she's an item. And he's laughing. He's saying, I don't have to work. You have to work. I don't have to work because of her. He shakes the baby again.
What's he going to do when we run out of money? Because I guarantee this, it really doesn't matter if Trump gets in or not. With this problem that they've created to steal votes, win an election, we will go bankrupt, and it could happen before the election. It'll certainly happen after the election. How you're going to turn this country around, I don't know. It's going to be painful.
And
that's why I'm saying this could be the last fair or unfair election we ever have.
How in the name of God can anybody who is in Congress, and you know we give them so much deference, don't we? We talk about them like they're almost royalty. Representative so-and-so. Senator so-and-so. In the meantime, they're sticking it to us. They're giving us a shiv in the back, you know, because they're fighting desperately right now, seriously, fighting desperately for us to give the Ukraine $60 billion with a B dollars that we don't have.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, it's coming from you and me.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently we don't have it. We can't. How much would it cost for each American to pony up? Because obviously illegals don't have to pay off the national debt. Could we do it?
Bill, we could have paid off the national debt probably years ago had we focused on the debt. But we don't do that. See, there's probably no profit in it for the people in Washington.
Well, there's no pork train added onto the choo-choo that's going down the track. I mean, they want pork added. Those cars are full of pork. You know, that train is a long train.
And they want you, they're sticking it to us, and they want you to say, thank you, sir, can I have some more? That's the truth. We are being shafted by these people on a consistent basis, And there are some exceptions. I really do think there are some. I want to play a cut in a few minutes from J.D. Vance. He was interviewed over the weekend on Maria's show, and it's a great interview, and I'll play it in a couple of minutes. But there are exceptions. There are Matt Gaetz's of the world and Jim Jordan's. But even Jim Jordan, right, he's been in it so long with his sleeves rolled up and never wearing a sport coat. It's almost like they have a Superman image they want to present to the public, you know? And the fact is, and I've said this before, Bill, I'm fed up to here with all of the things that they're going to do in the future. Every time you hear these people talk, it's not about what we're going to do tomorrow or today. It's about, well, we have to have more hearings to make sure we have enough factual information to be able to, you know, enough already. This stuff has been going on since 2020, and you haven't done a damn thing. You know,
you can sit there and just say, forget it, I'm out of this witch hunt, and just say, I'm going to sit back, you know, life will still go on.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, friends, we have gotten to a point to where life is not going to go on. I think Democrats realize their little liberalism was in trouble, but it's not because of the right. It really isn't. You know, the world is going to suck for everyone, and very soon.
Oh,
we're going to all be on the same suck bus.
Bill, you're
going straight down the hill.
Well, I think we're going to find out this morning whether we live in an honest and just society or whether it's corrupted and it's polluted so badly that it's irretrievable.
And you got to wonder what's going on because,
I don't want to sound so depressed. Depressing to a lot of people because
it's
I love this country. God, we wouldn't be doing this show if we didn't love the country and want to give our families the great nation that we grew up in. But I really do think that if they pull Trump off the ballot, I think it's a slap in the face to 100 million people at least out there who support the guy. And I think it's an up yours, if you know what I mean. You know.
Well, it is a big up yours, and it could all come to, it's not going to come to a grinding halt. I think it's going to be at some place in time, it's a place in time. It goes to the people as, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
Well, see, that's just it. I don't know whether we have the, our forefathers, as they used to say, they had cojones. You know, but I don't know what, and you know what, I say that for our illegal friends in the country, but I don't know whether the country has become fat and sassy. You know, I mean, we've gotten sloppy in our older age. We aren't as dedicated to the proposition, as they would say. Are we patriots enough to fight for this country? You know, and I'm not talking.
Well, are we all lip service or are we action? And no, I'm not inciting a riot.
No, I don't want to incite any kind of a riot or bloodshed.
No.
But there have to be other answers. There have to be challenges, legal challenges, in courtrooms. I mean, how about the lawyers in this country banding together? There has to be another answer other than violence. I mean, at least in my opinion. But then again, they said that just before the Civil War.
Yeah, they
did. Same thing.
And it happened. And, but they didn't have radio and the internet and all those things out there. But there's a lot of censorship that goes on. Well, you were talking about in Boston, Cooner, that's on an AM station there. Very popular. He's on the internet. But, his driving force is that radio station. I think it's owned by iHeart, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's a terrific morning show conservative talk show host. I listen to him regularly. He apparently he's been attacked by the Massachusetts Republican Party.
The rhinos.
Yeah, because they're rhinos. That's but what Bill just said is, and they have been rhinos for decades. Okay, but they have gone to the FCC. All I would suggest to Jeff is if you are listening and if they if they happen to win their challenge, you could start a podcast tomorrow. You'll be fine.
Well, maybe, maybe not, because what they're going to do is, I can tell you this, the radio station license is not in jeopardy, but they'll make it that way, because one of the people on the FCC board happens to be a chief engineer, a head engineer for iHeart, at least was. So they've got somebody in their corner, but they'll take that little legal thing to say, we got to get this talker off. And while we get him off, let's just go down the line.
Well, what you just said is the key. He's an effective conservative voice doing morning radio and has high numbers, not just in Boston, but he has national numbers. People around the country every day listen to him talk. He's built a real solid audience. So, yes, they, more than anything else, this is about silencing a conservative voice that's effective.
Let me give you an example. If you see somebody that's a lefty, might be a friend of yours or not, lefties don't have righty friends anymore. They just don't. Or they tolerate us, but they don't really give us much time. But they will put a negative meme out there, something that is really disgusting, foul, and low, and you go, oh, that is, you've gone too far. Could you take that down? Oh, no, it's true. All right, I'm going to complain. Now, I did a little experiment, and where somebody posted something like that, somebody I didn't know. So I decided I'm going to go complain. All of a sudden, you can't complain and report that anymore as, obscene content or content that offends you. However, I go, well, I'll put a little something on my thing that's conservative of value. All right? Not a meme, but something conservative. And I had somebody, will you go on and see if you can get that yanked? Guess what? They got it yanked.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So, but they have the power right now. Even like you would, Bill, you had more to add? I don't want to.
Well, I was going to say there's another thing, but go ahead and say that.
No, I was going to say about Google. You watch Google and their AI, right? They have a new AI out right now.
Yeah.
And it's warping, intentionally warping history. It's saying, give me a picture of the American patriots, and you'll see George Washington as a man of color. You'll see people who were not, well, one of them was, show me a picture of the Norsemen, the Vikings, right? And they're people of color.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of having people of color being shown in historic positions. Don't get me wrong. That's fine if they were in those historic positions. But if they weren't, it's ludicrous. Vikings were not minorities. They were white Norsemen, right? That's what they were historically. But they're changing it. They are changing it. That's the wrong. Look at Martin Luther King was a terrific man, and he was a man of color. And yeah. You couldn't. Can you imagine if you made him white?
There would be all
would
kinds
hit,
of
you would hit the end of it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and right now I see that the left is coddling the black. They've lost the black vote, so they're doing the coddling with Kamala down in Alabama with that thing. She's doing other things that she's talking about out there, all trying to get the black vote. You've got reparations now in New York. There's another state going for reparations now that they want to do it. It seems that all the blue states are going to do reparations, coddling the black, and they don't have the money for it. And I would remind the black people, look at college students. They were promised to get their student loans forgiven, which is not fair to other people that have paid off their loans, but they were promised that, and they're still paying for the loans. So, you know what? They say white men no good to black people, and they're Republicans. Why don't you just go with
Everything I see is that the black community, the minority community, is turning their back on Biden. Slowly,
right.
Slowly,
but
it's happening.
But they're trying now, doing a full court press, to wave money in their face. That's the answer. Wave this money. We'll dole out some cash here and there, and then they'll take it back when they get what they want.
Bill, they've misjudged the black community because They're people who are paying attention. You know, here's the problem as I see it, Bill. The problem is that for the most part, throughout history, right, in our country, the black community has been lower middle income people who have needed to work.
Oh,
they spend
businesses now.
They spend most of their time, though, struggling to make a living to feed their families, right? Or to keep the family together. That's what they've been doing. So they're not spending their time watching politics like you and I. But now they are, because they've looked around and said, wait a second, we've been promised every single election cycle over and over again, things will be better, and things are worse. And now they look and say, wait a second, it was a lot better during the Trump administration than it is right now. They're not stupid people. These people look around and say, no, we've got to look in another direction. And they're doing that. And that's why you said Carmela down trying to shake the tree to get people to come back to the...
Is that a coconut tree she's shaking?
I don't know.
Like her mama used to say, girl, you shaking that coconut tree? You know, I think a couple fell and hit her on the head.
Hey, J.D. Hard. Vance was talking with Maria Bartiromo this weekend. I promised I'd play this for you.
All right.
Good interview, talking about the border and other things. Listen.
Joe Biden opened up the floodgates. He implemented over 90 executive orders at the beginning of his administration that were meant to open the border. He and his Secretary of Homeland Security, they bragged about it. They said they were undoing the Trump border policies, and now 3 years later, we're living with the disaster of it. We just go back to this terrible murder of Laken Riley, who was, you know, killed doing what, you know, young kids just do. She was out exercising, enjoying her life, and she was brutally murdered by someone who shouldn't have been here. That person was paroled by the Biden administration. And I have to say, Maria, it's not just a radical departure from the Trump border policies. It's in some ways a radical departure from the Obama border policies. Barack Obama paroled about 5,000 illegal aliens per year. Joe Biden is paroling close to 1 million per year, including the person who brutally murdered Laken Riley. So we have a problem. It is a problem called Joe Biden. And unless we get him out of the Oval Office, we're never going to have a secure border because he doesn't have the will to do basic border enforcement.
And you know that now President Biden is blaming the Republicans for the open border and trying his hardest to blame President Trump, as many of your colleagues in the Senate demand putting Ukraine first ahead of the border. I want to get your take on what Chuck Schumer said as soon as he came out of the White House meeting this past week when discussing the deadlines on the budget.
The meeting on Ukraine was one of the most intense I have ever encountered in my many meetings in the Oval Office. The overwhelming sentiment in that meeting is we got to do Ukraine now. And there are other issues, including border, which we should address, but not now. We said to the speaker, get it done. I told him this is one of the moments, I said, I've been around here a long time. It's maybe four or five times that history is looking over your shoulder. And if you don't do the right thing, whatever the immediate politics are, you will regret it.
Senator, your reaction?
Well, I think it's so shameful, Maria, that you have all of these people whose job it is to look after the American people and to lead this country, but they're obsessed with Eastern Europe and with Ukraine. Look, we have terrible problems because of our border. We have the fentanyl problem, the sex trafficking problem. You have people in Ohio who take their kids to the emergency room for emergency medical care, but have to wait 6-8 hours in line because there are so many people illegally in this country who are getting put in front of the line of American citizens. This is disgraceful. And if you are a leader of this country, of the United States of America, you should be getting fired up about that. You can believe that we should support Ukraine or not Ukraine, but if you are not most focused on the problems of this country, what are you doing in Senate leadership? I just think it's so disgraceful. And by the way, Maria, credit to Mike Johnson for being the one person in that meeting who's standing there saying, we've got to put the interests of our own citizens first. I don't think we should be spending any more money on Ukraine. Maybe Mike Johnson disagrees with me, but however you come out on that issue, we've got to focus on our own citizens first, and credit to Mike Johnson for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Joe Biden mentioned George Floyd this week many times. He did it, obviously, more than Laken Riley. We have not heard Joe Biden say anything about Laken Riley. You would think that you would want to see Laken Riley's family sitting next to Jill Biden this week at the State of the Union. But in fact, I understand she has a woman next to her who needed an abortion, didn't get the abortion, then got the abortion. That's going to be her guest at the State of the Union But the president is expected to attack Republicans for not doing the Senate deal. You say that Senate border deal was wrong because of what it did with parole. Talk to us about that real quick before I move on.
Just a couple of quick things, Maria. First of all, the Senate border deal did nothing meaningful on parole. 5,000 people paroled during the Obama administration, over a million or close to a million during 1 year of the Biden administration. If you're not fixing that problem, you're not serious about border security. It also, and this is really important, Maria, it handed the ability to wave in people and grant them citizenship to some of the most liberal people in the immigration enforcement program, taking it away from immigration judges and giving it away to these agents who can, and literally with the stroke of a pen, make an illegal alien a permanent U.S. resident. This was a disgraceful deal. It would have made the border crisis worse. And again, Joe Biden can do all of this by himself. 90 executive orders that he could undo and bring back Trump's border security policies. He needs to do it because the country needs it.
I want to get your take on Mitch McConnell stepping down. I know that the Senate is considering who would take his place. Do you have a favorite? Who do you want to see in Mitch McConnell's spot? And by the way, condolences to Mitch McConnell's family. Angela Chow, of course, we've reported in the past, is dead. She was a very gentle woman. And now we understand that this is under criminal investigation, how she died in this car accident. Your thoughts?
Well, I haven't heard that. Of course, condolences to Mitch McConnell's family. I've had my disagreements with Mitch, but I certainly wish him the best. But I think that we have to use this leadership election to turn the page on Republican Senate leadership, Maria. You cannot have a Senate Republican leader who is far more obsessed with securing Ukraine's border than he is focused on the American border. You can't have a Senate Republican leader who seems to ooze hatred and dismay for the very people who vote most of the Republican elected leaders. Our base, I happen to think they're good people and that we should be listening to them more than we do, but you can't have another establishment politician who seems to dislike the people who actually vote for the Republican Party. So yeah. Whatever we do, we need to focus on getting a Republican leader who I think is trusted by the broad majority of Republicans. That's the most important thing, and that's what's actually going to help us win elections and govern.
Yeah, I think that's the right call. Get somebody who doesn't hate the base. Senator, you've talked this week about Google, and of course you mentioned Gemini, where they were inputting all this stuff based on their own narratives and their own ideologies, which gave us the wrong information on the AI Gemini program. Do you want to see Google split up?
Absolutely, Maria. This is one of the most dangerous companies in the world. It actively solicits and forces left-wing bias down the throats of the American nation. Look, Maria, just take an example. Go into Google right now and type in, can a man become pregnant? The result that Google will spit back at you is, yes, a man can become pregnant. Now, we can joke about that and say this is absurd, but what happens when our 12-year-old children are going and doing that Google search? Think about the effect this has on the presidential election when unbiased, non-committed voters are searching things about Donald Trump and also about Joe Biden right before they cast their ballots. We cannot allow a company that is in bed with some of the worst people in the world to control the flow of information and to bias it in a left-wing direction. We got to break this company up and bring back some common sense, in my view, common carrier standards so that we don't let these companies control the flow of information in our country.
I mean, do you think that's likely? Do you think that could happen, a Google breakup?
I actually think you hear growing calls, and frankly, from across the political spectrum, recognizing that Google is too big, too powerful, and they use their market power to control American politics and to control American democracy. Okay. You hear a lot of my friends on the left, Maria, say they feel like our democracy is under threat. The biggest way our democracy is under threat is you have these massive, you know, international companies that are sort of controlling what we think, what we read, what information we consume. That's a big problem, and I actually do think that there's going to be growing momentum to rein Google in. We saw this with the release of Gemini. This is a radically left-wing company that is trying to control how we consume information. If we let that happen, we are going to get exactly what we deserve.
Some of our younger listeners may say, well, can they really break up Google? I would point them to, historically, the oil business, Rockefeller's oil business back in the 20s, They broke that up. It was a monopoly. He was owning everything from the refineries AT&T. To the drilling. And I was going to appoint AT&T. Yeah, the Bell Telephone. Bell Telephone back in, what, 60s? They broke that up into, they called them baby bells. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. there was Southern New England Bell, and there was Southern Bell, and all these different places. They were all pieces of the original Bell Telephone. And so can they break up Google? Absolutely, they can. Whether they do, Bill, this goes back to money and power. They throw money around like it's candy. So whether they break it up and do the right thing, again, it's yet to be seen. I'm just looking at, while that was airing, I was looking at the decision. Again, a big decision today. This is could be one of the most important days in American history. People don't even know it.
Yeah, I was actually doing a Google search. That's why I paused for a second. I wanted to see if the fix was in. So I actually, on Google, I wanted to see what the SCOTUS ruling was. And they were smart by not having that there, because I just wonder if
you mean whether they already released a version of it and hadn't told us yet?
Yeah.
Well,
because that does happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I just got a bad feeling about it. I mean, I will be happy if they don't have. They should rule in favor of Trump, but you know, rules do change, and they will change. It's just like the question there of, can a man have a baby? Technically, yeah, you've got to either have a uterus donor, or you have to certain things to make one, and then it's in vitro fertilization. It is not a natural process.
Yeah, has a man had a baby? I don't think so. I don't think there have been men out there who have had babies, Bill. I could be wrong.
I think there was one, but I'm not sure about it now, so I'm not I mean, I wouldn't bet your life savings on what I just said.
I think there was one.
Well, wait a minute. Okay,
but then,
look.
Wouldn't he be a woman?
Not really, because, again, you know, he had to be altered, and then still it wasn't natural insemination. It wasn't natural birth.
Yeah.
It just but I'll type this in. I can't type and talk at the same time.
I wanted to play another thing I thought was interesting before we run out of time this morning. Our neighbors to the north, we have problems here. They have problems up there, too. And Justin Trudeau was lamenting about the good old days when they controlled the media. Listen.
There is out there a deliberate undermining of mainstream media. There are the conspiracy theorists. There are the social media drivers who are trying to do everything they can to keep people in their little filter bubbles, to prevent people from actually agreeing on a common set of facts, the way, you know, the CBC and CTV, when they were our only sources of news, you know, used to project across the country, at least a common understanding of things.
Yes, when they controlled the CBC and CTC, things were good. But they don't do that anymore. There are all these other networks up in Canada that are making it really hard for them to sell their propaganda. That's what he's saying. His opposition spoke over the past week, too. And his opposition sounded like he's been affected by Trump. Listen.
The federal government has said that its online harms bill is imminent. They've said this bill will include, among other things, a ban on so-called online hate speech. As you know, the Conservatives a decade ago repealed Section 13 of the Canadian Human Rights Act, which the Liberals have talked about reintroducing and tried in the last parliamentary term. Will the Conservatives oppose the reintroduction of these provisions and the Liberals' approach to so-called online hate speech?
Yes, we will oppose Justin Trudeau's latest attack on freedom of expression. And I want to ask, what does Justin Trudeau mean when he says the word hate speech? He means speech he hates. So, for example, let's go through some of the things he said is hate speech. Jerry Butts, the PMO puppet master, said that it was hate speech to criticize Trudeau for using the ridiculous term people kind, right? Justin Trudeau said anyone who criticized him during the pandemic was engaging in hate speech. basically anybody who disagrees with his radical agenda when it comes to kids, he says is hate speech. He attacked Muslim parents who were protesting against his agenda. Is he going to criminalize those Muslim parents for protecting their children in schools? Go down the list of things that Justin Trudeau disapproves of, and you can imagine all of the things that will be criminalized. And then there becomes the question of who is going to be in charge of determining what is hate speech. Recently, a school board in Ontario banned Anne Frank's books. Okay? So would that be considered hate speech under Justin Trudeau's woke authoritarian agenda? I think it would. So anyone who thinks that speech they don't like is going to be criminalized and therefore the bill should be supported, go through that. Those people should go through the list of their own thoughts that Justin Trudeau considers to be unacceptable views, and you can assume that he will ban all of that as well. And finally, I point out the irony that someone who spent the first half of his adult life as a practicing racist, who dressed up in hideous racist costumes so many times he says he can't remember them all, should then be the arbiter on what constitutes hate. Why doesn't he? What he should actually do is look into his own heart and ask himself why he was such a hateful racist. Despite his enormous personal privileges of a multi-million-dollar trust fund, being the son of a prime minister, growing up in mansions, traveling the world, why he had so much hate in his heart that he was such an awful racist. And what he should do is actually explain where that ugliness came from. And maybe in that way, rather than through coercion, he could help us all in the fight against real hate.
That's Canadian Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. I think it's
easy
pronounced.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, it's P-O-I-L-I-E-V-R-E. Poilievre, I believe. I could be wrong.
How I pronounce it?
Yeah, Poilievre.
Poilievre.
Yeah. Anyway, but he is an articulate guy. I love when he says, Justin Trudeau, when he says hate speech, that's speech that he hates. I thought, well,
that is hate speech for some. Yes.
Yes, it is. Interesting, though, Bill. We have a tendency to think that we're living this nightmare on our own down here in the lower 48. But actually, they have a problem up in Canada that may be as bad, if not worse, than ours.
Oh, it's a global thing. And that's why, you know, if somebody goes, gee, Bill, you have kind of a pessimistic view on life.
Yeah.
No, I have a very optimistic view on life and people, good people. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that the world is controlled by evil people.
Oh, I believe that too. Yeah.
And so I don't have a positive outlook that way, you know, because I think that there are powers that are in play. And, you know, they'll try to win or manipulate us, and when they can't manipulate us,
they'll steal it.
Yeah, they'll just right in front of you. And I am saying, in all seriousness, we've mm-hmm. said, you know, that it was going to get nasty this year. It began this weekend, and it's going to ratchet up. Now, it could begin, yeah. It could be the beginning of the end today, because the fix is in. We don't know how deep this is, and I think we're going to get a good dose of it today.
Yeah,
I'd
like to think, Bill, that we're going to have some good news. I just have been disappointed so many times.
Let's ask the question.
Uh-huh.
So if it goes against Trump, is he going to survive it?
You know, he's a survivor. He has survived a lot of things that people have thought that would have destroyed a lesser man, but will he survive it? I don't know. If they take away the legal path to the presidency, then what does he have?
Well, there is. If they did rule today against him, you know, you can change it through law and an amendment. Otherwise, it goes today and sticks. But he would have to get in to be president. to probably get anybody in his favor to say, yeah, that's not right, let's change it. Now, they could sit there and take him out and then take that away, because trust me, there will be Democrats that can fall victim to whatever ruling comes down today as well.
I have a question.
They just want to get him out of the way.
I have a question. Where is Congress on this topic? Why hasn't Congress come out, and why haven't there been Republican representatives and senators who have been vocal about their displeasure with this whole removal of their candidate from the ballot? You know, yeah, but well, I hear nobody. Know,
you got to wonder, though. The Supreme Court, you know, which they had to rule on this, they could drag their feet and take their time, because if they do that, with the primaries coming up, Trump marches on. Because like in Colorado, well, you know, a handful of people there, I mean, literally one hand full of people, three, four. Oh, we don't want them on the ballot, so we rule that way. Just like in, where was it?
Illinois, yeah, that judge.
Illinois, and then one, there was in Mass.
She was a traffic judge, Bill.
Yeah,
a traffic makes
that judge. Makes that ruling. Yeah. It would be overturned by somebody, you know, the Republican side will overturn it and say, or we'll caucus. And that would go on and continue to be the rule until he got all of his delegates. And then it wouldn't matter what they ruled or let him become.
So you
the
say that he would then petition that the states go to a caucus platform. And to remove,
he could have gone forward. We could have marched up to the election, and then the ruling wouldn't matter at that point in time. It matters now. It matters for the Democrats. It matters for the Republicans.
Understand
it
that
matters
these,
right now. So
these judges, Bill, they live in the swamp. They swim in the swamp. They live in D.C. You know, and so we're expecting them to do the honest, right thing. But there's a part of me, the back part of me, that says, don't get your hopes up, Jim. They've disappointed you before, and they're probably going to do it again today, you know?
Swamp is full of leeches. Now, leeches generally, and people go, oh, yuck, nasty. You know, they suck your blood and stuff, but actually they cleanse your blood. In D.C., they have a special kind of leech. They don't cleanse your blood.
I would imagine by 10 o'clock this morning, we will have a word of the decision. So be looking to your news sources throughout the day. Maybe sometime this afternoon, we may even have a short comment on the decision. But
it's going to shape our show and many shows around us. Because to be honest with you, I like to talk about, you know, even though the news is negative, I like to sit there and talk about the positive, you know,
the possibilities,
the possibilities. And well, here's the truth. But, you know, if you sit there and the truth gets snubbed out, they're going to take it out with a gun, shoot it right in the head, you know, then, you know, there's
What do we have? I know.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people here, you, the American public, you know, us. We're the American public, too. Forget about the show. Forget about that.
Yeah.
Is where do we go from here? Oh, we got Nikki Haley. I forgot about her.
Oh, yeah. Gag me.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because the news headline today shows, you know, Nikki Haley wins District of Columbia. And the screen just cleared. But NASA launches 8 people into space. The rocket goes off for SpaceX. Nikki Haley wins, rocket goes up. And I'm like going, well, is that a symbolism there that they're doing? Speaking of which, something I did notice over the weekend, it just caught me off guard or caught my eye, is they were doing a raid. They did a couple of raids. Now, one of the raids was on somebody that was pro-Trump. And here are these two people, and they work for the FBI, so I'll point that out. And they both had on brand new shirts. The FBI evidence collection team, you know, and I'm like going, they have special shirts for when they go and they, you know, the FBI arresting team. It's like a cartoon. It's like a Don Knotts, you know, not Don Knotts. What was it? The Get Smart episode where he's taking on Chaos, and Chaos had special shirts for everything. Whereas they go in. and they do a raid on somebody that is they have nondescript jackets.
Hey, remember when
what's the difference?
Roger Stone was arrested at like at 5:30 in the morning at his house. They notified CNN, so the cameras were out front. This is about 4 years ago, and they made a big deal out of it. He was subsequently pardoned, and it was thrown out. But while they could, they made hay while the sun shined. You know, they were getting their videotape of Roger being perp walked. And by the way, I would imagine Peter Navarro's either in prison right now or close to it. I think he's another Trump person who is being embarrassed.
Right.
You know,
well, what I'm saying, it's all staging. It is all staging, just like down in Georgia when they did, Fannie ordered that they be mugshot.
And, you know, I think I can't help but think it's coming from Obama and his people, I think.
Yeah, Obama and Hillary.
Yeah.
Because she reared her head over the weekend with Bill, and they're in with the no labels, and they're getting together, but they're Democrats, and they're getting their strategy together, and they've come out openly to let you know that they're back. Yeah, because the Democrats, they love Obama. They love Clinton. And there's a lot of Democrats and women that love Hillary as bad as she was and is. They still think that they got something in her. And she's probably got such an ego that she's going, I can still get in.
You know, keep an eye on the news today, folks. Big,
ain't
big
gonna be
decision.
Good, though. It's not going to be pretty. No matter what side of the fence you're on, it's not pretty.
Well, I got to tell you, if it comes down and they say he has a right to be on the ballot, that'll be pretty enough for me. It'll also be pretty,
but you know the demonstrations from the left will be coordinated.
Oh, I know.
Everything is staged with him. That was my point about the T-shirts. If they go after a conservative, all right, we got to get some T-shirts made up.
There will
so
be
that
protests. There'll be people throwing bottles probably somewhere. They'll be pulling a tent from somewhere.
I mean, they'll have the Trump Nazis out there, you know, in shirts. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, come on, you know. Who are you fooling? Well, a lot of people that are just, they're surface dwellers on the news.
Hey, if you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868, 833-538-7868.
Mail@itsanotherday.com, mail@itsanotherday.com. There's Jim and Bill at mail.com, mail@jimandbill.com. Then there's mail at the three student knobs.
We could go on ad infinitum. Hey, there's only one thing left to do, Mr. Knight.
You know what? Except for a bowl of Wheaties, I'm thinking hasta la vista, baby. We're out of here!
This is CRN America.